Please turn with me in your Bibles to the first letter of John, chapter 1, 1 John, chapter 1, first letter of John, not the Gospel, of course. Towards the end of the New Testament, 1 John, chapter 1, and reading verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Our subject this evening is light and darkness. Well, we continue in our series in the first letter of the Apostle John. And well, we recall what we considered last week. The Apostle remembered how he himself had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. John was a disciple and saw the Lord Jesus, the God-man. He beheld the glory of the only begotten Son. And well, at the very beginning of this letter, he says that he heard the words of the Lord. He saw the Lord with his eyes, saw all the miracles, saw the Lord's glorious conduct, saw his perfect righteousness. He saw all of these things. He handled the Lord. He was the disciple who leaned on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper in the upper room. And well, we mentioned that John is affirming the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is fully God, but he is also fully man. And he had to affirm the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ because there were heresies, heretics, the Gnostics, who claimed that God could not come in the flesh. He could not come in the flesh. Why not? Well, because flesh is evil. That's what they thought. Anything that is matter is evil. So God could not appear in the flesh. He only seemed to have a body. But the Apostle John makes it very clear. He handled the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God, but he was truly manifest in the flesh. And that's a very important point that we will again consider throughout our series. And well, we mentioned a few other things. I won't go through everything, but we ended last week looking at the apostle's reason for telling us all of this, for writing this letter, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, we read in verse 3. John wants the readers of this letter, and by extension us gathered here, to know the same joy that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, of course, is no longer with us on earth. He does not exercise an earthly ministry. He has gone up on high. He has ascended into heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father. But John really is saying, you can still know the Lord Jesus Christ just as we knew the Lord Jesus Christ. We were with him. We saw him with our own eyes. We heard his words. We handled his body. But you can have that same fellowship, that exact same fellowship that we had with him. You can be part of the body of Christ. Remember, we mentioned that last week. The church is Christ's body. We can be members one of another. We can encourage one another. And in that way, we can handle, as it were, the body of Christ and do the work of Christ here on earth. And we can hear his words in the church, and we can see his works in the church. We can have the same fellowship that the Apostle John and all the other disciples had. And that is a glorious theme, fellowship with them, the disciples and the apostles, and fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these themes, well, we'll be touching on them again, this theme of fellowship, as we go on this evening. But first, John makes a great and glorious statement in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. This is the message which we have heard of him, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking so clearly about light. But of course, this idea, this teaching that God is light, is very clear throughout the whole scripture, even in the Old Testament. And well, it would take forever to go through all the references, but some that you know very well, Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Isaiah 60 and verse 19, speaking of that great and coming eternal age, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. There will be that time, that age, when we won't even need the sun or the moon for light, because God himself is light. That's what the prophet Isaiah teaches us. In fact, the first instruction we read in the Bible, the first words that we read coming out of the mouth of the living God, is let there be light. That's the first exhortation from God. He speaks of light. The first expression that we hear from God, let there be light, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And of course, well, Christ is light, that is described to us in the New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 9, this same apostle says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John chapter 1, verse 9. And then, of course, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord himself declares who he is. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says, declares that he is light. And he makes that contrast that is here in verse 5. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That contrast between those who follow the Lord, they are light, and those who do not, those who walk in darkness. That great contrast is made even by the Lord Jesus Christ. God is light, and this is so important for us to understand. What does it really mean when we talk about God being light? Well, God being light, it speaks of God's majesty. It speaks of his glory. He is everlasting light, a light that no man put on and no man will put out. Will nobody put on or ever will put out this light? It's an everlasting light, a light that has always been shining. This speaks of his glorious majesty and his infinite nature. God is light. It speaks of his goodness, of course. It speaks of his mercy, his grace, his love, everlasting love. These things are all light to the soul. When these things, when we understand these things about God, they bring light into the soul of everyone who receives these things. It speaks of truth. God is light, speaks of perfect truth that illuminates the understanding. The Word of God is truth, and it is only when we understand the Word of God that Our understanding is illuminated. Suddenly we can see everything very clearly. Perfect truth that enlightens us, that gives us a clear vision, a clear sight of who we are and who God is, why we are here. It speaks, of course, of his purity and his holiness. Well, I will be reading that great hymn of Thomas Binney later on. But you know the words, eternal light, how pure the soul must be. When placed within thy searching sight, it shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. How pure the soul must be. When placed before the eternal light, it speaks of God's holiness. There is no darkness in him at all. Darkness is the opposite of God. Darkness speaks of evil and falsehood, lying. That's darkness when we turn the truth into a lie, wickedness and sin. None of these things are in God. Darkness, well, we've already mentioned this in a sense. Darkness represents the unbelieving world. The believing world, those who are following after the Lord, we are light, and we'll consider that a little later. But darkness is the unbelieving world because it does not know light. It does not know God. God is light, and the world has turned away from God. It does not desire God. It is dwelling in spiritual darkness. And well, we see this in several places in Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, look how the Apostle Paul describes those who are unbelievers, having the understanding darkened. Their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. If somebody is blind, they cannot see. They are in the dark. Their understanding is darkened. That's the unbeliever, the unbelieving world. And most memorably, well, we read this in John chapter 3, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, those words, they're very clear. Light has come into the world. The gospel has come into the world. But what do men do? Well, they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Fallen, sinful men, they hide from the light. They hide from the Lord Jesus Christ because they know that their sins will be exposed. If they come to the gospel, if they come to Christ, they will see their own sins. They don't want to see their own sin. They don't want to have their sin removed from them. So they would rather be in the darkness. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. What a foolish state that is, to love the darkness. And yet this is how the unbelieving world is presented to us. And a great distinction is made between unbelievers and believers, darkness and light. And we could mention other scriptures, but a great distinction has been made. So those of us who are believers, we are taught in the scriptures that we are to have nothing to do with the works of darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We are not to have anything to do with the works of darkness. And this is what is presented to us here in these verses. Verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, if we say that we are Christians, if we say that we are professing Christians, we say that we have fellowship with God, and yet we live in a way which is not consistent with our profession. We live in a way that is full of darkness. Well, then we're lying to ourselves. We're lying to those around us. We're presenting a false profession of faith. We are rendering ourselves insincere at the very least. We are lying, presenting a false witness. This is what these words are teaching us. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, what does it mean to walk in darkness? If you are a professing Christian, are we guilty of walking in darkness? Well, that term walk in darkness, that seems to suggest not simply individual acts when we sin against God. It would include that, of course. Whenever we sin, we turn away from the light and engage in dark acts, as it were, spiritual darkness. But walking in darkness, that seems to suggest a habitual way of life. You are walking in darkness every day. You are habitually turning away from God and doing those things that are not pleasing to him. Habitual sinfulness, willful sinfulness, habits that, you engage in so often. You turn yourself over to the same sins day after day after day. You don't even try to fight them. You make very little attempt. You know it's wrong. You know it's against the word of God, but this is your walk. This is your habitual state. Walking in darkness. Is there anything like that in our lives? Habits. It could be consistent pride, consistent selfishness, or anything that comes to your mind. Are you walking in darkness, and yet you claim that you have fellowship with the one who is light? We must always examine ourselves and endeavor to turn away from those sins that are our besetting sins. We spoke about that this morning. Each and every one of us, we know that there is something in our character that is not pleasing to God. Do we give in to it time and again? Habitual sin. We must fight it and never give up fighting it. Otherwise, we are giving in to our sin, and we are walking in darkness. To walk in darkness also means that we turn away from God's word. Now, this is quite common, increasingly common nowadays. The word of God, I've already mentioned this, it is a light. It is described as light in the word of God. Psalm 119 gives us so many examples. I just read out two. In verse 105 of Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in verse 130 of that same psalm, the entrance of thy words giveth light. When we read the scriptures, when we meditate upon them, it is like a light shining into the soul. It helps us to turn away from wickedness and from ourselves, from our own sin, because the word gives us that light and penetrates into the soul. If we don't read the word, if we neglect it, we are denying that light. It's like sitting in a darkened room. It's like sitting in your bedroom all day with the lights out and the curtains drawn. That's not good for you, for your physical health. Well, in the same way, you never read the word of God. It's like you're forcing your soul into a darkened state. You never give it any light in which to grow. And that is walking in darkness. You spend days without the word of God. You spend weeks even. Prayer is important, yes, of course. We could mention that, but the Word of God, it so often strengthens our prayers and enriches our prayers. So be in the Word. Meditate upon the Word. Some people, sadly, they profess they are Christians. They don't even believe in the Word of God. They don't believe that it's true. They don't think that it's inspired scripture, that it is from God. They don't yield to the authority of it. They don't obey the Word of God. They think perhaps that the world knows better than the Word of God. The Bible is outdated. And yet they say that they are Christians. They say that they have fellowship with God, and yet they walk in darkness. They don't believe in the Word of God. Dear friends, we must avoid that. We must love the Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light, the Word of God. And well, that's a second feature of walking in darkness. We turn away from God's Word. But walking in darkness would also include self-interest, the prioritizing of self. So many, sadly, well, they profess to be followers of God. They sing about God. They sing about how they would give everything up for God. They surrender all to God. And yet in their lives, they do not do that. It's clear from their lives that they put themselves first. Their comforts, their interests, their ambitions, that comes way before God. And this is part of what it means to walk in darkness. We say that we have fellowship with God. I love God with all my heart. But actually, in reality, you don't. Your actions betray your profession of faith. It's very clear that you're living for your own gain, for your own material interests, and you never put yourself second best. You never put God first. That would be a feature of walking in darkness, self-love and self-interest. So we have to examine ourselves. We can all be guilty of these things, even the best of us. But this is so important. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if you don't say that, well, then you can in some ways be let off the hook. At least you're being honest. But if you say that you have fellowship, you say you're a Christian and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light, let us think about that. Just for a few moments, we've considered walking in darkness. Let us consider what it is to walk in the light. Well, I'll be brief with some of these points because we're running out of time. But well, some of these are so obvious. To walk in the light, we abhor sin. We seek to live those scrupulously holy lives. We live in the light of God's word. We measure ourselves by God's standard, not by the world's standard. We don't judge ourselves according to what the world thinks or compare ourselves to others in the world. We compare ourselves to what God wants us to be. How does God want me to be? Not my friends, not my parents. What does God want me to be like? Walk in the light of his word. Apply the word of God to your lives. We don't simply come to church simply to listen to the word of God. We apply it to our lives. We correct ourselves. We seek to be better. We seek to live sanctified lives. And well, as an extension of that, we are always seeking further light. Further light. We live in the light of God's word, but we always seek further light. We must be those who want to know as much about God as possible. We can never stop learning about God. We don't want to be ignorant in any way. We don't want to say to ourselves, well, I don't need to learn anything else. I know enough already, because that's not truly walking in light. Someone walking in light is always seeking further light. They need more light. They need more understanding. They need more enlightenment. They need holier lives, always progressing, always going forward, always studying the scriptures, always studying doctrine. This is what it is to walk in light, growing in sanctification. To walk in the light, well, we remember what our light source is. God is light. We are simply reflecting his light. Like the moon reflects the light from the sun, the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It's reflecting the light from the sun. Well, we ourselves, we are so conscious that we are reflecting the light of God. And so when we understand this, we do everything for God's glory, not for ourselves. We want God to be glorified and magnified. Everything that we do in our Christian life, we want it to be for God's glory. And this is how we pray. Lord, help me to fight this sin, for example, this sin in my life, not for me, not so my life can be better, but so that God can be glorified, so that God can be honored. Because I know that my sin displeases God, because I know that Christ died for my sin, not simply because my sin is an inconvenience to me. We do everything for his honor, for his glory. This is his light we are reflecting. And so we do everything to glorify his name. And when we walk in the light, and this is an important point, walking in the light is about continually trusting in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 7 in its entirety, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Walking in the light is understanding what Christ's blood means to us, understanding that his blood cleanses us from all sin. We acknowledge that we need the blood of Christ and that we need it every day. That's what it is to walk in light. To walk in light isn't that we're so good, we're so righteous, we don't need the blood of Christ. Aren't we good people? No, to walk in light is to acknowledge that we need the blood of Christ every day. It cleanses us from all our sin. We should never be those who think that God's salvation is not enough. We should never be those who think that Christ's shed blood is not enough. Sometimes you meet people like this. They get so downcast, so despondent. I've committed a great sin. God will never forgive me. Forgiveness is out of the question. That's not walking in light. Somebody who is walking in light will say to himself, yes, I have sinned greatly, but Christ is able to wash away every guilty stain. Christ's blood cleanseth us from all sin. So I can continue. I don't need to be cast down. I don't need to be depressed. Christ's blood cleanses me. His blood is all sufficient. His is a finished work. He saved me to the uttermost. That's what it is to be walking in light. You'll never be downcast. You'll never fall from grace. You'll never have that spiritual despondency. Walk in the light of God's grace and mercy. This is what it is to walk in light. And these are tremendous things. We're almost out of time, but just one last thing to mention in this verse, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, notice what it says here. We have fellowship one with another. One with another. Well, it goes without saying that if we walk in darkness, well, we distance ourselves from the Lord. We distance ourselves from God because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in darkness, we distance ourselves from God. But this is communicating to us that if we walk in darkness, we will distance ourselves from one another. As a church, as a body of believers, if we walk in darkness, we don't just spoil our fellowship with God, we spoil our fellowship one with another. And that's very true. This is essential for church life, for fellowship in the church amongst believers. We must walk in the light and all the things that that entails. If we walk in darkness, our fellowship will not be blessed. If all is not right spiritually, well, we will be distant from one another. Our relationships will not be close. If there is sin in our lives, we don't want people to get close to us. If this brother or this sister in the church knows what I'm really doing, then I'll be in real trouble. So we keep people at arm's length. We don't want to have close relationships in the church because we're not living as we should do. If we were living in the light, well, then there would be nothing to hide. We can freely fellowship with one another. But if there is sin, if there is darkness, if there's hypocrisy in our lives, then the fellowship one with another will be spoiled. There will be distance. There will be coldness one to another. It hinders our fellowship. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You see, this is the secret of how to draw closer to one another. People have different ideas about this. The way to improve fellowship, you have to have more social outings. You have to have more coffee mornings. No, dear friends, those are all superficial things. The way to have better fellowship in the church is to walk in light, is to be holy people. And then all the barriers that are between us will fall away. We will draw nearer one to another. You will see it. This is the secret of blessed fellowship in the church. Any relationship, husband and wife, you want to be closer, you have to draw nearer to the Lord, to God first. That is the way that you will be blessed in your relationship. As a family, you want to have a closer family? Put Christ first. Walk in light. And then the family will be blessed. In every relationship, we must draw near to Christ so that we can draw near to one another. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's what is emphasized here. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the common bond that we have as believers. We are all washed in Jesus' blood, as John Newton wrote so wonderfully in one of his hymns. Well, these are the applications we can make. We'll look at verses 8 to 10 next week, God willing. But may the Lord help us each one. May we be those who walk in light. May the Lord, who is light, help us mightily. Well, let us close our thinking, opening our hymn books to that great hymn of Thomas Binney, hymn number 369. Hymn number 369. And may these words bless us as we close this evening. Hymn number 369. Eternal light, how pure the soul must be when placed within thy searching sight, it shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. The spirits that surround thy throne may bear the burning bliss, but that is surely theirs alone, since they have never, never known a fallen world like this. Oh, how shall I, whose native sphere is dark whose mind is dim, before the Holy One appear, and on my naked spirit bear the uncreated beam? There is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, a Holy Spirit's energies, an advocate with God. These prepare us for the sight of majesty above. The sons of ignorance and night can dwell in the eternal light through the eternal love. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we acknowledge Thee as the God who is light, and how we praise Thee as such. O dear Lord, may Thy light shine into our lives. If we are those who have been guilty of walking in darkness and yet claiming fellowship with Thee, O dear Lord, correct us and help us by the enabling of Thy Holy Spirit to be sanctified even this evening. Challenge us, we pray, and help us to be better and to do better in the days ahead. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy. We thank Thee that the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. O Lord, what a glory this is. What peace this is to our souls. O Lord, bless us each one with that peace that can only come from on high, that can only come through faith in Christ Jesus. O Lord, bless us each one, we pray. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.